to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between. This is the 50-50 Podcast, powered by College Promoters USA. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game.
College Promoters USA, founded and located in San Antonio, operates as the only family-owned college recruiting company in Texas that brings a truly professional, local, and face-to-face approach to area high school student-athletes and their families. If your son or daughter is serious about college athletics, call them at 210-494-6363 or visit collegepromotersusa.com anytime. College Promoters USA, the best investment a parent can make in their high school student athletes.
Here we go. It's another episode of the 50-50 Podcast, powered by College Promoters USA. Our proud partners, College Promoters USA, they are America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. Located here in San Antonio, Texas. If you are local, you can find them in the Ventura Plaza Shopping Center. You can also find them on social media, on Instagram at College Promoters USA, as well as on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. My next guest, he is the newly named head women's soccer coach of the Dallas Baptist University Patriots. He is coach a legend in the coaching ranks here, definitely at the D3 level in his former school, Hardin-Simmons. He is Coach Marcus Wood. Coach, how are you?
Wonderful, Hector. Let's go. We got Peyton and Eli on Monday Night Football right now. So if someone's going to tune in to listen to us, you and I got to bring it. We got to beat Peyton and Eli. We got to bring it tonight.
There we go. Let's see if we can trump the first ever, I think it is, Monday night playoff football game. Yeah. I think we can get higher ratings, Coach. I love the energy. Excited to have you here.
We can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Coach, before we dive into the Q&A a little bit, for all of our listeners across the state, across the country that may be listening, parents, you know, prospective student athletes, high school coaches, club coaches, maybe even some other college coaches, tell us a little bit, just briefly, where have you been and how'd you arrive to DBU?
Six stops, Hector. So Bettendorf, Iowa is where I grew up. And even though Iowa is a soccer desert, I had an incredible high school coach who, made it a really incredible experience, and Bettendorf High School, we're one of the powerhouses, and I'm still proud of Bettendorf, Iowa High School soccer. From there, I went to Olivet Nazarene University near the Chicago area, played NAIA college soccer. Olivet is now a little bit famous. That's where the Chicago Bears do their training. And then the Chicago Cubs World Series MVP, Ben Zobrist, played a couple of years of base before he transferred from Olivet to Dallas Baptist. Ben Zobrist became the Chicago Cubs MVP. So that's a strange small world. From Olivet, I was considering going into the business world. I had a business degree. And then I was offered a graduate assistant soccer coach at University of the Cumberlands in Kentucky. It paid nothing. And I had a really good job offer from Ford, but I couldn't give up soccer. And so I went to the University of the Cumberlands and coached NAIA men for a couple of years. And our women's coach there took the job at Gardner-Webb. So I followed him to Gardner-Webb, helped lead Gardner-Webb in transition from Division II to Division I. And then, so each of those were kind of short stops. And then 22 years at Hardin-Simmons in Abilene, Texas. And the Cowgirls will have my heart forever. I love the Cowgirls. And they'll always be a part of me. Hardin-Simmons will always be a part of me. And now I'm about 10 days here at Dallas Baptist. So that's the journey so far.
Yeah. 10 days. It's exactly 10 days on the job, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome, Coach. So talk to us a little bit. So 22 very fast years, I'm assuming, with the amount of success you had at Hardin-Simmons. Talk to us a little bit. Hardin-Simmons to DBU, all these years, 22 years. I know you had your fair share of opportunities to maybe offers to go to other schools. Why now and why DBU?
That's a good question, Hector. I think the first part, I never thought I would leave Harden-Simmons. So when other people say they're shocked that I left, I'm also shocked that I left. I loved it there. Everything about Harden-Simmons could not have been better, from my boss and administrators to every student athlete I worked with. So what Dallas Baptist had is it felt exactly like Harden-Simmons. The people here, the feel on campus, the student athletes. I also wonder, because I'm still trying to even process and digest how am I sitting in an office in Dallas this evening. I think COVID was part of it. I think COVID maybe gave us all this sense that life is short, and am I ever going to take an opportunity to maybe coach at a little higher level? And I also came to the conclusion that maybe I'm not going to coach forever. Coaching's a difficult profession.
Yeah.
And so my wife Kelly and I and Cameron and Alex, our kids, we decided that we're going to take this next adventure and we're going to do it together. And we're all pretty excited for this opportunity to try something new.
That's awesome. And what you look back on it now, and I'm sure it's got to be different for you. You talked about 10 days on the job, right? And so you kind of have to have that out of body experience a little bit. But when you look back on it and your time at Harden-Simmons, what are those things that are resonating with you the most right now as you're making this transition?
Well, I think everyone associated with the program would say something along the lines of Harden-Simmons Cowgirl soccer was about much more than soccer. We have relationships that are going to last a lifetime. I think everyone I've heard from, I'm going to guess 300 people, that we're not going to be Dallas Baptist fans. You know, we're going to remain Cowgirl fans, and we're going to root for the Cowgirls. But now our village just got a little bit bigger. Nice. That's kind of the way we feel about it. And it wasn't just Harden-Simmons, the whole Abilene community. We attended a church there, Beltway Church, that everything about that whole Abilene community was, characterized by love and love in actions. And we just felt really loved there. And we're very hopeful that the experience is going to be similar here.
Right. And I can personally attest to the Abilene community, having been there, back in my active duty days when when I left the Air Force Academy, was no longer stationed there and coaching there. You got assigned there to Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene, where the plan was, I thought I was going to be there for probably at least 2 years, and ended up retiring early, 6 months in, only just because of a special early retirement option that was given to me. And I knew I was ready to go into education on some level at that point. But the Abilene community, it's funny you mentioned that as well, because I know you and I have had a chance to share this offline, but what could have been, it could have possibly ended up there working for you as a volunteer coach. Could you imagine that?
We could have worked together, Hector. Our chance. We had the chance. And your timing was 2014. That was the year that Julianne Cusera was carrying the Cowgirls on her back.
Wow.
In a 22-year coaching career, there were multiple kind of time periods where I thought, we may never win another game. We're just not very good right now. And that 2014 was kind of one of those years where it was a lean year. We were very young. But we had a couple of special players that really found a way to help us get it done. And wish we could have worked together, but glad we got to share the Abilene community, because it is a very special place. A lot of those smaller West Texas towns are really special place with really special people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So 10 days on the job, Coach, what is this last, and coming out of the holidays and everything else, it's gotta be a whirlwind for you. What has this last month been like for you?
Yeah, drinking from a fire hydrant. They're just constantly, yeah, constantly something new and something big that you have to get done. I'm fortunate to have a really great staff here. Jess Jobe, the men's coach, has been very helpful. Corey Marr has chosen to stay from the previous staff, and nice, he's been extremely helpful. We just have a great crew of people around here that I'm trying to make kind of realistic bite-sized days. Like one day it was, I got to get an email address. And then today was maybe by the end of this week I can get a credit card. So the next time I go recruiting, I've got a credit card. There's just kind of, you got to take it one day at a time and take bite-sized steps. Today was neat, Martin Luther King Day. We had the campus had a really neat walk to honor Dr. Martin Luther King, and we hope to not dishonor them on one day, but every day. And also the students were moving back on campus. So I was meeting a lot of the young ladies for the first time, and that really brought a great energy to the building. The positive energy on the building today was really, really special.
Yeah. So what's that like? They're meeting coach, you're meeting all the players for the first time. You're finally, besides names on rosters or, you know, pictures, what was that like?
You can see why they have the program they do just in meeting the people. It is a special group of people that have really helped me feel welcome, and that they came on the camp. It was a beautiful day today. I'm guessing all over Texas it was beautiful. But they got out here, and the men's and women's team were out here, and they didn't just drive back to campus. They drove back to campus and got out the soccer balls and started playing and running. And nice. It's pretty clear why they've built what they have, because they like to work. They like to work together, and the quality of people is pretty clear.
So what's that been like? You know, you make the move, make the announcement, and is that like, hey, you leave the boss, that is your wife, in charge of everything as far as the real estate, figure out what we're going to do, where we're going to move, and you just live in the office? Or what's that like? Take us through that one, Coach. What's that like?
That's well described, Hector. what I prioritized in week one is I need to have a proper goodbye to 35 Cowgirl soccer players. So we did individual phone calls and Zooms, and some wanted to meet in person. And I think every one of those was tearful. I don't think I've ever cried so much in a week. But each young lady deserved a proper goodbye. So I talked to each of those. And then the next task was talking to 37 Dallas Baptist Patriots. I'm saying, hey, I'm excited to be your coach, and don't give up on us. We lost a special coach in Michelle Leonard to Baylor, but now stick with us, because we're going to just build on what Michelle did. And then my wife, what we've decided for the semester, the kids are just at an age where they have really good friends, and so they're going to stay there and finish up the semester. My wife is going to try to sell the house. We don't think selling the house is going to be a problem. Selling the house seems to be pretty easy stuff right now, but then the next task is finding the right home and community here. And in Abilene, you're pretty clear where you're going to live. And in Dallas, now it's kind of, right, world is your oyster. Do we go up to South Lake, Colleyville, Grapevine? Do we go to Frisco? Do we go south of Interstate 20 to Midlothian? Yeah. You know, it's just a lot to figure out. My wife is doing a lot of that research. And then every night, kind of Zoom with the kids. I'm hoping the kids are on here tonight. We gave them the link. Hopefully the kids get a chance to pop in and see Dad. Nice. It's kind of nice to have the technology where, because I'm in Dallas, of just being able to see each other each evening, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Hopefully the kids are on here. You want to give them a quick little shout out? I think they'd appreciate that.
Cameron Wood is the best. She's a eighth grade girl who gets to move in her freshman year. So while she has lots of great friends in Abilene, she gets to move and make new friends. And then Alex is a third grader who just loves sports. I guarantee he's wearing some sort of jersey right now, whether it's basketball or football or soccer. He's a sports lover, and we sure enjoy sharing sports together.
Awesome. Good stuff. I know they'll appreciate that. So
thanks for doing that,
Coach. As we look back briefly, so every college coach I've been speaking with, I asked this of Coach Carr from Oklahoma recently. We look back on what is really the longest year in college soccer history, right, in terms of just how it played out. Now, obviously, D3 level was also different, but you played in the spring, then you come back a really short summer, really short off season, and then right back at it in the fall, in the traditional season. What, you know, all of these things obviously attributed to COVID, but from your perspective, the coach's perspective, and maybe even the players, and you look at your program, what was the last year like for you?
Well, the American Southwest Conference, we really got it right, and coaches, a lot of times we'll blame administrators for why things aren't right, but the administrators really listened to us pretty well. And what we did well in the American Southwest Conference, we listened to the student athletes. What the student athletes said was they wanted the games to matter. And Hector, I fell on the other side of that. I wanted like a glorified spring season. I wanted to play games. I wanted to kind of learn about our team. It felt like the games mattering was going to be too much. You know, we're going to be missing players to injury just like normal, but then we're going to be missing players to COVID. We might be missing half our roster. Mm-hmm. And now you're still going to put on the coach that we're playing for a championship, and now these games are meet. That did not seem right to me. But what the student athletes were saying is, we want these games to matter. And why they were saying that, especially in Division III, you get a whole bunch of student athletes. We have the young ladies on our team that are going to law school, going to medical school, going to physical therapy school. And because they're paying the full cost of school, they're not going to use that extra COVID year of eligibility. We're not going to pay $40,000 so that I can play one more year of college soccer. You know? So they want, if we're going to play, and this is our last year to get, we've worked our whole lives to be great at soccer, and now we're 22 years old, and this is our last year, make these games matter. And it was this crazy feeling where you're coaching your seventh game of the year and you're really just kind of starting to get to understand your team. And now we're playing for the conference championship. but we did have very special conference championships on both the men's and the women's side. On the women's side, I felt like our league in particular had three great teams. UT Dallas and Mary Harden Baylor met in the semifinal, and that was a game that went to a penalty shootout. And we got through our semifinal, and then 2 days later we played UT Dallas in a game that went to a penalty shootout. And one of our young ladies on that team, Kayla Gable, got to write a remarkable story. When I recruited Kayla Gable, we offered her a roster spot as the fifth goalkeeper. We already had great goalkeepers in the team, but what we saw in Kayla is she's just hardworking. She hadn't had a lot of goalkeeper training, but we could do that. We could teach her goalkeeping. And she was just willing. Our men's coach trained her at our college ID camp, and he said, the way she's diving has to physically hurt, but she's doing it, and she's keeping the ball out of the net, so coach, I would take her. But we offered Kayla this roster spot, and in that year, and she's one of the players who's sounding off saying, coach, these games got to matter, she saved three penalties in the shootout, including a remarkable save on the last one to win it. And she got to have that moment where she's charging her teammates and her whole team is charging her. That's how her college career ended. She wrote that story. And what would have happened if I would have got my way and said, let's not make these games competitive. In short, Hector, I would say listening to the student athlete usually pays off. The student athletes know what they want, and we got to adjust our agenda to what the student athletes want and need.
Nice. Now, did you feel with that, by that mentality, did it off put or make anything in terms of the fall? Did it have any sort of ripple effect in terms of not just maybe you, but in speaking with other coaches in the conference there in the American Southwest?
I think all of us were exhausted at the end of the fall season, because we played for four trophies in 10 months. You had a regular season champion, a tournament, and both the spring and the fall. Yeah. And there were, when we went recruiting, at the Thanksgiving, the normal Thanksgiving showcases and the week after, a lot of coaches were saying, I haven't had a weekend off in 2021, so we're going to be hitting the beach next weekend, or we're doing something with our family next weekend. It was that type of year. We all put in an extra, the coaching world put in a Herculean effort for the student athletes, but we should. That's what we do. We serve student athletes. And the student athletes deserve to have the proper experience. And I think the whole coaching world, I was proud of how we responded and how we went through it, and
absolutely
created great memories, even in adverse circumstances.
Right. Man, four trophies. I didn't even think about it like that. That's almost a full European, year there in the pros. Wow. So it's awesome. So, Coach, we start transitioning here. We've talked about the year that was and your program that was in Hardin-Simmons. Now you start looking, obviously today, first day back for student athletes there at DBU. They're moving in. But you obviously inherit, if you will, an incredible roster, an incredible program, an incredible situation. They're coming off a historic, 2021 campaign, made a run all the way to the D2 College Cup. And so how do you look at that as you're stepping in as the new guy, right? And what are maybe also some players that have you excited that you can highlight for us?
So there's multiple stories in that, Hector. The strange feeling for me is I told our Hardin-Simmons Cowgirls, I want you to watch this Division II Final Four. I gave them a link to the game. at no point was I thinking that I'm going to ever be the Dallas Baptist coach. We played Dallas Baptist each of the last 5 years, and this was the best Dallas Baptist team we had played. At the beginning, they were just very, very good. We thought they had a real chance to make a special run. And all of our players at Hardin-Simmons, there was a lot of them said they tuned in that game just because they wanted to see. And I watched the game just as a fan of a great program that had really done it right. And from that story, I can't thank Michelle Leonard enough for how incredible she was in this whole process. I've always been kind of a fan from a distance. We've recruited against each other. We've lost a lot of recruiting battles to Dallas Baptist because of Michelle and Leah Sedgwick. But Michelle just made this transition about as great as a person could. And I'm going to be a fan of the Baylor Bears, and I hope all of us will. Michelle's going to do great things. I'm confident of that. And then she did everything she could to make my transition go well of understanding. But because the team did play a relatively small roster. You know, if I remember correctly, in the Final Four, I think there was only 14 players that played in the game. And so five or six of those are graduating. So are we only returning eight players that are at the standard? And she was very clear about all the players that are in the spring season, coach, that we gotta help these next players develop because they're right there. Right. Maybe as 18-year-olds, they couldn't compete with fifth and sixth-year seniors who are just the final product. But coach, they could get there. Michelle made that very clear. And, you know, that's what I'm excited about going to work on is the players that did not get to play a role on the 2021 team that can step in and help us maintain the standard in the 2022 team. You know, the rock stars of the team, unfortunately, there are five or six of them returning. We could all read their names on the internet. And I don't think that's necessarily the way to build a great team by naming all their names. I want the 18th player who subs in for 10 minutes to know she's just as important as the player who doesn't come off the field for 90 minutes and is the All-American. When you talk about inheriting, we're inheriting a couple of All-Americans that have three more years of eligibility. You know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's something to build around. But I think there's also a lot of other talent in the team, and we're going to build something very special here together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's well said for sure. So coach, you're, as you start transitioning and you're talking about obviously the spring coming up, but in that time or between now and then, and after, obviously I know you'll be hitting the recruiting trail and, pretty soon, give us your perspective, I guess, attending the recruiting, you know, just in general, attending recruiting showcases from your perspective. Help student athletes maybe that are just entering, right? They're just entering the recruiting world, or they're thinking about wanting to play at the next level. And they may see, you know, they may see a coach there from DBU. What are you looking for? You attend these, you show up to a field. What are your thoughts? What are you looking for? Something that's going to grab you?
Well, gosh, Hector, my first, I think for parents and student athletes, understanding what that showcase weekend is like. Let's just do the Saturday. There's eight time slots of games. So let's say we watch half of each game. So we get to see, is it 16 players then we get to see on Saturday? Unless two players are, and guess the number of players that write to every college coach. You know, at Hardin-Simmons, I felt like at every event, it would be somewhere between 50 and 100 where their video was good. You know, The initial email has to have video or something to capture the imagination, because if it's just a general email and they don't have awards and they don't have, clearly they fit our academic profile, there's not much I can even do with that email. But if we get an email, the video is good. They're a first team all district performer. Here's the phone number of my club and my high school coach and go talk to them. So that's how we take this pool of 50 and kind of narrow it down to the 16 players that we might get to see on Saturday. Right. They've got a lot of things. And, you know, all when we're talking about a player that has everything that we want in our profile, we start with the idea of they have skill and insight, that they're very skillful, they're clearly comfortable on the ball, and that the brain is clicking. You can see that on the video. Show me, don't tell me. Let's see that brain is clicking and you're pretty skillful. But one for me that – I want a player that wins the ball back. I want to see defensive pride. I want to see that there's as much energy put into defending as there is into attacking. And then we want to see speed in multiple forms that there's a technical speed, but also a little bit of a physical running speed. I like a player that can win headers. So we're looking for kind of a multifunctional player. And then these intangible things like grit and character. Can you see character on the field? Can you see that they want to win and there's a certain degree of toughness and that they're competitive? That you can see those things even in a showcase event. But a player that we're going to recruit is going to have all of those things. Hector, if I understand correctly, 7% of players make an NCAA roster, 7% of high school players. So if you're talking about now just a Division II player, right, now you're talking about a top 4% player. So you got to be in the top 4% of all players to even have a shot to get on a roster, let alone earn playing time. So when you're talking about this pyramid becoming narrow, it's a pyramid that gets narrow, and the college coach has got to do a pretty good another piece of advice is you don't want to fool the college coach. You don't want the college coach to overestimate you and then get on that roster, because it's going to be a rude awakening pretty quickly. You want to get in a home where you really fit. I had great advice when I was being recruited. I'm 5'7", so I was an undersized recruit. And I had a couple Division I's kind of, I was a fringe D1 kid. And a really great college coach said to me, "I'm offering you a roster spot. You can be on our team. We are redshirting you year one. I don't even want you to get any crazy notion in your head that you're going to play until about that third year. And if I were you, I'd go to that NAIA school that's offering you a half scholarship because you're wanted there. They really want you." Yeah. And that's—I see a ton of mistakes as a 22-year Division III coach. There's just been many, many great players that went and sat on the bench of a Division II or Division I that could have really had a remarkable career at a Division III. So, you know, take all the factors into account when you're looking at college. If you can get a great education and you get a coach that's going to care about you and a team that's going to care about you, and you're going to have a great experience. Well, gosh, let's not worry so much about what division we're at. Let's find that home.
Right. And, you know, and that's a great point, Coach, because with D3, what I've often found is there's this percentage of, whether it be because of parents, that the players have this thought in their head, or it's the parents and players, the prospective student athletes, but they think they see the initial price tag with D3 schools, and they kind of think that, well, that's too much of a reach on that front financially, because they don't offer athletic scholarships, right? But they don't really, they just look at the sticker price. They don't go through that application process. They don't get to understand, hey, what do some of these schools offer in terms of these merit-based scholarships, right?
That's exactly it, Hector, is if you're a truly great student and have a high ACT or SAT and you're in the top 10 or 20% of your graduating class, you've now made Division III a really affordable option for yourself. Your great academics is what did that for you. And in Division III, we're all kind of looking for this special fit. Each school has something a little bit different. So at Hardin-Simmons, the top five in every incoming class get full tuition. So I was very intentional, Hector, about finding 33 and 34 ACTs. Because if I found a 33 or 34 ACT that wanted to study physical therapy, we now had something to offer that was pretty good. And there's all sorts of these things out there at every Division III for the high-end merit-based student.
Yeah. Awesome. So any upcoming camps that you're going to have, Coach, and or showcases, tournaments, events where you'll be on the recruiting trail that you can announce?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have about 4 ID camps. From my understanding, is every Dallas Baptist camp that we ever have sells out. We have a January 29th, but I think that's going to sell out the next couple of days. Really cool. This is new for me. There's, I think, 7 or 8 states signed up now, including Minnesota and Colorado and New Mexico. And wow, they're flying in to come to this event. And another really cool thing for me is how many of the players have signed up. There's 10 names that have signed up where I'm saying, that's a baller. Like, I know her and she can play. Oh, wow. And she signed up and I wasn't even promoting her. There's 50 kids signed up for the Dallas Baptist ID camp without a coach in place. You know, that tells you a little bit about you know, what would attract me to here. The kids want to come here. The student athletes want to come here. So if you miss out on this one and we sell out this weekend, we're going to try to have 3 or 4 of those events where you can get in and come meet us and meet our players. And I think it's always one of the most important things on the campus visit is meeting the players. When you feel real comfortable around those other players and you found your people, that's usually a pretty good sign. We're having an ID event in 2 weeks, but that one may sell out, and we'll get some more out there so that everyone who wants to get a good look at us can come get a good look at us.
Nice. Now, you know, Coach, I got to bang the drum for the high school side as well. So one of the things that I'll mention is I've seen during the pandemic, right? I've seen this resurgence. Yeah, maybe not your power fives of the world, but I've seen this resurgence of college coaches across multiple levels showing up at high school games, high school tournaments, you know, these first, you know, really these first two, but you can argue maybe these first three weekends in January, they're major tournaments across the state of Texas in Texas high school soccer. So just got to put that out there because of where you are. I mean, you know this already. You're sitting now in arguably the number two hotbed in the country. Right. So got to put that out there. Got to give the love to our Texas high school coaches, but also just Texas high school soccer in general, about being able to attend. You know, I'm seeing more college coaches. I was just having this conversation with my wife the other night. I'm seeing more college coaches attend high school games than in the last 2 years than I probably ever have.
Hector, I'll bang the drum for high school soccer all day long. So first of all, most of your club experience is getting in the car with mom and dad, and you drive a long ways, and or your now kids are flying all over the country, and none of your peers ever get to see you play. And in these high school games, man, there's 500 students, and they're all your friends. You get to play in front of an audience, and the game's on the news, and you're in the newspaper the next day, and you're the next day at school. All your friends are celebrating your great soccer skill. High school soccer is awesome. And we're real, the Tasco and the way Tasco is organized, we have so many great coaches in Texas high school soccer. I have several good buddies who I pick their brain every year because their brain is just going constantly. There's multiple coaches in this state who we have one, there's one big recruit that's a 2023 who our high school coach, the last time I was recruiting one of his players, he edited the game film down to where I could see every touch that my player had made in the year. And I asked him, can you please do the same thing for this 2023 we're excited about? Because the coach is that caring and that invested in his players. And so there's not going to be a lot of mystery. I'm going to see every one of her touches of high school soccer because she has this high school coach that cares so much and invests so much. You don't become a high school teacher coach without being wired in a certain way to really be loving and caring about people and being a servant leader. And the Texas high school coaches is filled with these type of people. So then the last piece about that you mentioned about high school college coaches turning out. My assistant here has gone to a game every single night. He's just nice. Excited. He's excited. He grew up playing high school soccer in the DFW area, and he's excited when these top programs are playing each other. And so I think that's absolutely, you're going to see college coaches out at these high school games.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that as well. I think that's something that oftentimes it gets downplayed significantly, but it's kind of when you really start asking around, and just from what you see on Twitter, but when you really start asking around, you find moments just like what you said with your assistant, right? Just a lot of them are out there, more out there than people.
Hector, think. I would also say this, like we just have to work well together. So I attended, Sting had a college combine this last weekend, and right. And it was dramatic because a lot of key players were out at that. Because you had Notre Dame and Baylor and TCU and Oklahoma, Mark Garvin, that, you know, you had all these Power Five coaches out. So you're choosing to go to this combine over your high school game, and that upsets your high school coach. But we have to be able to find a way to all work together on that. But when an event draws all these Power Five coaches, of course the student athletes go into that. But the high school coach and the club coach need to understand. When these high school events are a big deal, we need to make sure to let them be there. It's just like a club and country. A Barcelona Absolutely. Player is going to be playing for Spain as well, and we got to share these great players.
Right.
And
right.
In high school and club, we can do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Why should recruits consider DBU, Coach, in terms of just academically and then obviously as your soccer program? I think that largely speaks for itself right now, but even academically, but the, as the total package, why should more recruits consider DBU?
It's why I'm here. It literally Dallas Baptist ticks every box. So it's considered Christ-centered championship athletics. So for anyone that's considering faith-based education or you come from a Christian home, Dallas Baptist is the most caring, nurturing campus in the state of Texas. You know, we're going to care a lot more about who your daughter is as a person than who your daughter is as a soccer. Mom and dad care way more about who their daughter is as a person than who they are as a soccer player. And we're going to care in that same order. That matters way more to us. And we're going to make a big investment that you grow as people. And we're going to invest in your character skills and you're becoming a stronger, better person. And then the quality of the education, you know, Division II allows for a better degree of a balanced lifestyle. Hector, right. But before I chose to come here, you know, part of what planted the seed in the back of my head is I bet I've heard 20 times in the last 5 years a Division I coach complaining that the recruit went to Dallas Baptist for a lot less money, for a fraction of the cost. I offered this girl a full ride and she went to Dallas Baptist, and Dallas Baptist is getting this player for nickels on the dollar. And that's because of what's here. It's just a great education in a very caring place. And then, oh, by the way, it's one of three programs that's ever been to a Final Four in Division II, and they've climbed that highest mountain, and a lot of the pieces are back, and we're in a, you know, I see this as a program that the path to success is never this path. It's never straight to here, not just going to keep going here, but I do see Dallas Baptist trajectory as it's up and down like everything else, but we're going to continue to build on what Michelle Leonard, Jess Jobe, and Leah Sedgwick built here. The program really has everything, and it's very exciting to be a part of it, looking ahead to the next decade.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and you're absolutely right. You know, Coach Michelle Leonard did a tremendous job there, obviously. Now, in your mold, now that you're stepping in, how will Dallas Baptist look different under you?
the incoming players, that was a big deal. Man, did they grill me on that whole idea, because Dallas Baptist built out of the back, meaning that it start with the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper's got to be able to play with their feet, and they're playing the short goal kick and trying to build. And, I don't see any reason that has to change. The goalkeepers are here. The center backs are here. A lot of the back rows here. I felt like a big part to that, the ability to build out of the back, was Marta, the UNT transfer who's currently playing here. If you give Marta the ball, I believe with three people tackling her and draped on her back, she's going to find a way to duck out of that pressure and still connect the next pass. You've got to have a player coming out of that holding mid that can kind of do that, because there's a lot of times your buildup gets stuck where there's nothing here, and now we're going to just lump it forward. But this team had a couple of ways out because there's just some players who could duck out of pressure in a lot of different ways. One of the things I mentioned to Michelle is I usually build my teams around defending first. Like if we take the four phases of the game, what we do well and what our Cowgirl teams have done well is we are tough defensively and we're organized defensively and we work our socks off defensively. And I said, Michelle, when I look at your team, it looks like you've thought most about building out from the back. You've thought about the attack organized first and how you're. And she said, Coach, we build a lot of our Dallas Baptist teams the same way you built your teams. There just happens to be a couple pretty special players in the team right now. And so that's why it looks the way it looks. And I think the team will continue to attract those special players so we can play soccer in a way that's attractive and fun to watch. And we can continue to fill these stands. You got these beautiful stands out here. Every seat's a chair back seat. How many power fives have?
Yeah, I saw that.
It looks down on the field and it's just such a cool setup. And if people are going to turn out to watch, we got to give them something. We got to show them something.
Yeah. So in charge, being the head guy in charge here, making that leap from D3 to D2, what maybe that you can share with us, what has you the most excited about coaching at the D2 level, making that leap?
In the end,
the ground is still flat. The ball is still round. We get all that. But any one maybe thing that's kind of in the back of your mind of like, hey, this is going to be a little different, you know?
And what that's has, my, what maybe, yeah. That's even my encouragement to the D3 coach or the high school. We have the same job. Our job is to love people and to care for people and to be a servant of people. There's nothing changing in that. What is exciting for me is the idea of now being able to offer an athletic scholarship and being able to, because now that we discovered you or found you, we're going to be able to help mom and dad significantly with the cost of college. And that is a very exciting piece. Mom and dad make this huge investment. I don't know how much money a mom and dad has to spend anymore to be an elite club soccer player. But now we can at least make college and this great college a little bit more affordable for you. That is a pretty exciting piece. And we hope to really be able to build special relationships with special families here at Dallas Baptist.
Finish this sentence. The 2022 Dallas Baptist University women's soccer season will be a success if
we maximize our potential on the field and we develop Christian character. It's not a successful year unless we do both. We're not going to miss out on that piece of we're developing the character of our people. Over focus on championships is where we as coaches can miss the boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's absolutely maximize what we can do and be, and that's why we even talk about excellence more than we talk about success. But let's maximize the excellence that we can bring forth every single day. Let's get 1% better every day, and let's also spend the equal amount of time developing the character of these amazing young people that are around us. That's our call as coaches. That's why we got into coaching.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
What people will remember long after we're done coaching, is they're going to remember how we made them feel more than they're going to remember the score of that game. I have an amazing recall of games. I can tell you the score in 2001. You name the opponent, I can name the score. But most players don't remember that stuff. They remember the relationships, and they remember as a coach how you invested in them.
Yeah, it wasn't that so well said. It wasn't until I entered coaching that it finally started to make sense of the, because we used to hear it all the time as players, right? That nobody will remember what the record was in any one given year or what the stat line or whatever, but everyone will remember the impact that coaching staff had, what they made you feel, right? What they made you feel. And
Hector, it's so true. I got to jump on. We're two like-minded guys. This might go an hour and a half, Hector. we all lost a great friend in the soccer community this last year in Joey Rodriguez to COVID. Right. Joey Rodriguez, a Hardin-Simmons guy. He came, worked our camps every summer. But listening to the players tell those stories, it reminded you of life is short. And, even multiple times throughout the season, I'm doing this for Joey. It reminded me that we can easily get caught up in the pressure of winning or losing. But our much bigger task is to have the type of impact that Joey Rodriguez had on all of his student athletes. That's what we're called to do as coaches.
Yes, sir. Yeah. There's nothing else I can say to follow that up. Absolutely. Well said. And may he rest in peace and God bless him and his
family. Absolutely.
So, Coach, we know you're going to stick around with us. We get to pick on you a little bit here with our, our next segment, our counterattack segment. So don't go anywhere. And for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
College Promoters USA, founded and located in San Antonio, operates as the only family-owned college recruiting company in Texas that brings a truly professional, local, and face-to-face approach to area high school student athletes and their families. If your son or daughter is serious about college athletics, call them at 210-494-6363. Or visit collegepromotersusa.com anytime. College Promoters USA, the best investment a parent can make in their high school student athletes.
And we're back with Coach Marcus Wood, head women's soccer coach of the Dallas Baptist University Patriots. Coach, it's counterattack time. You ready?
Let's go.
All right. Right off the bat, any game day super as a player, I mean, as a coach, not as a player, any game day superstitions or rituals?
So, Hector, I join in everything that the players want me to join in on. I think that's an incredibly bonding, silly thing we do. If what the players start saying is, we're putting on our right sock first before we put on, I'm in. If anything that the players are making up that they say that's important, we're all doing it together. I think that's a wonderful bonding thing between an old man soccer coach and an 18 to 22 year old. You know, we have to have things that we enjoy together. And so I'm all in on any of it.
Somehow I get visions that you're doing the Ted Lasso dance while you're being circled around the players. Yeah. I get that vision for some reason. So, all right, next one, Coach. Favorite number and why?
Oh, that's easy. Number three. So I was the oldest of three brothers, and for the decade from 1990 to 1999. Marcus Wood, Daniel Wood, or David Wood wore the number three for the Bettendorf High School Bulldogs. Won state championships in that number, won lots of conference championships. Nice. Three brothers all wore number three, and we represent.
All right. Awesome. Next one. Meme. Are you a meme or GIFs guy? GIFs.
So with a nine-year-old boy, and we're communicating on the phone a lot right now, I get a lot of both of those. He's made a bunch of my phone that I discovered last night. So we had... I was LeBron James for a little while. I was a meme of LeBron and the GIFs. I think that's part of the fun of recruiting and texting back and forth with recruits. A lot of recruits, when they've committed, have gotten the Seinfeld celebration where they all come in together and celebrate.
So which one are you? Are you one more than the other? Or
I would say GIFs more than memes. Yeah.
Okay. What's the go-to? Is it the Seinfeld?
The Seinfeld is absolutely the go-to.
All right. Awesome. All right. Something you wish you would have been told prior to entering coaching. Something you had to learn on your own.
That's a good one. Malcolm Gladwell popularized the 10,000 hour rule. It takes 10,000 hours to become an expert in anything. That if we'll really spend deliberate practice, 10,000 hours on something, we can become an expert. I don't think that tips the iceberg as a coach. We're always learning. You're always getting better. I'm fortunate, Hector, to have these incredible mentors that are willing to spend time on Zooms and phone. Every single year, I save a whole file of questions that I'm going to ask to mentors, because I'm going to face these really hard situations that I've never faced before. And now you just present that to a mentor and say, what would you have done in this circumstance? And there's so much wisdom from a coach who's been at this for 20 or 30 years, because we're just going to keep growing and getting better. And don't expect to be an expert. Even 20 years in, we're just going to have to keep growing and getting better. And that's part of our never ending task as a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point. You know, 10,000 hours. I don't know. It's like add a couple of zeros to that for coaches.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So a lot of people like to ask, hey, what's maybe your favorite team? I like to stir the pot and ask, what is your least favorite soccer team?
So I think by nature, I think Jose Mourinho's Real Madrid played the villain on purpose. You know, that you had to hate those. You have this golden generation of Barcelona, maybe the greatest team to ever. Even if you're not a Barcelona fan, when Xavi, Iniesta, and Messi, and we had it rolling, and you couldn't get a touch of the ball, and there's 800 passes in the game, like, you had to love those guys. And then for a team to just foul them as brutally as you can for 90 straight minutes, and then Pep and Jose clashing on the sideline, you had to hate Real Madrid for that time period. So, of course, that's the answer.
I would beg to differ, Coach. That's my team. That's my team.
Real Madrid's your team. Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So going all the way back to before the Galactico days, you know, it was always, and rightfully so. I've always kind of been a guy that likes the heels of the world, you know, the Ric Flairs, heels, the guy you love to hate. You know, that was always me. That was always.
So you're a Mourinho fan. You love the villain.
Yeah, well, I take him in doses, I guess. You notice I said Real, not so much Mourinho. I know what you're talking about. So. Favorite movie quote that you can share.
So my favorite movie is Hoosiers, the story of the Indiana high school basketball team. And what's amazing, so in Indiana high school basketball, all the levels play in one division. So the 1A plays the 6A. So could you imagine tiny Clyde High School playing South Lake Carroll or Allen High School and then beating them in the state final? Well, it happened. It's a true story of Indiana high school basketball. So I guess my favorite line from that movie is when the Jimmy Chitwood, the star character, says they run a play for somebody else in the state championship, and Jimmy Chitwood says to the coach, "I'll make it, coach." the true life guy, his name is Bobby Plump. This is a unique story. Bobby Plump, in this tiny little school, 100 people, there was only like 20 boys. And so most of them are on the basketball team. This town had never had a millionaire before. There's 8 millionaires that have come from that high school, including the guy who made this game-winning shot in the state final, Bobby Plump. If you go to Indianapolis, right downtown, there's a Bobby Plump's last shot, and he'll be there, and you can meet him. You can meet the guy who made the game-winning shot, and he's a millionaire. So not only did this shot change, you know, a sports story, it changed people's belief in what's possible for them. The fact that now all these people out of this tiny town could become millionaires, sports can change things. It can change your belief and your hope and in what's possible. So, coach, I'll make it. Give me the ball.
That's awesome. I did not know that. It's that's the first time I've heard that story. That's awesome. I did not know that. So
when I've tried to sell it to a couple of teams recently, and all they notice is the tiny shorts and because this is 1950s, 60s basketball, and their uniforms are a little different than what they look like today.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, my favorite, one of my favorite two or three in that entire movie is that part when they walk into, what is it called? Is it Butler Field? I forget.
Butler Fieldhouse.
And he measures the rim and all that. You'll find it's the same dimensions as our gym back in Hickory. Yeah. It's awesome. That's the brilliance of coaches too. So. All right, Coach. So you are appointed the soccer czar, right, in America. So today. And so what is one thing you'd change in soccer in America tomorrow? Agenda item number one. First thing you'd change. Anything goes. You are the czar of soccer in America.
So, Hector, we have a part-time assistant at Dallas Baptist named Steph, who grew up in Holland, and he was a professional player in Holland. He's an incredible part-time assistant to have on the staff. His depth of soccer knowledge is just incredible. And we had a long visit the other day about, you know, why can't the U.S. ever do what Holland has done? And the geography is part of it. You know, we're so spread out. Holland's so small. He feels like every boy age 7 or 8 who might have the talent levels identified by academy and is coached by the best coaches in the land, and they're playing only the very best competition their whole life. Where in the United States, one of our problems is our best 11 and 12 year old boys are going to be playing in games that they beat people 10 to nothing. And that's just an absolute, for our very elite performers, the quicker that we can get them performing against only the very best so that they, and receiving the best of instruction and, you know, I don't know how we overcome that geographically. And earlier, Hector, you talked about the hotbeds of soccer, like the Californias and the DFW area. You know, part of that's all the great soccer people that came here, even with the North American Soccer League a long time ago. Right. And now those people stayed here and they're great teachers of the game. And we have great teachers, but I don't know how we identify all the talent and then get them together and get them competing only against other top talent. So that by the time they're 13 or 14, their technical foundation and their insight is, you know, really, truly where it needs to be to keep up with the rest of the world. Shoot, I have a book. This is about the German, Das Reboot, the German soccer fell off for a while.
Right.
And so they made this plan to do it, I think, through the middle schools. And they did it through the schools and making sure they identified every talent in it. So, you know, German went downhill. We can do it. It's possible. But it's going to take a coordinated effort from our best soccer minds for sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point you mentioned with the German Federation as well. I will. They're kind of doing that again. Actually, Coach, it's funny you mentioned that. They're in the middle of revamping that kind of a 2.0 version of that. I'll send it to you after we get off.
So I would like to read about that.
It's an interesting read, and it's through the schools, that kind of training development model. And we're ironically, you know, my school where I'm at right now here in San Antonio, St. Mary's Hall, we're actually looking at that pretty closely right now. So, cause there's nothing that says it needs to be limited to a federation or a club, right? You can look at it on the school side as well.
Absolutely. And it's been done. That's how Germany won the most recent World Cup that they won. They involved the schools.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So next one, who would play you in a movie?
In the movie, Billy Bean always laughed in Moneyball. He said, I never in my life imagined that Brad Pitt would play me in a movie. So if Billy Bean gets Brad Pitt, then I'll take like a a Tom Hanks or a Matt Damon, one of those guys. Those are actors that I've really enjoyed.
Nice. Okay.
That'd be fun. Fun questions.
Hey, those are some solid answers there, Tom Hanks. All right. Okay. Next one. Bucket list destination. Place you want to go, you and the family, before it's a wrap, Coach.
So kind of a remarkable thing. We've taken most of the kind of really cool trips. We took the Harden-Simmons team overseas 6 times. So we went to Germany and Holland. We went to Barcelona. What a great city. We went to London. I've been to London a couple of times for soccer, to Costa Rica, to Italy, to France, to Denmark, to Monaco. So we've done most of them. We are considering, depending on what happened with this pandemic, checking Australia off for the Women's World Cup. If that does play out, we're sure hoping that the borders open up and we'll go see the Women's World Cup in Australia.
Yeah. And I may, you mentioned all those trips, man. I could have, had I ended up on your coaching staff, I could have been on some of those, man.
You could have been on them, Hector.
Yeah. What I may do, Coach, something that might be able to give you a little bit more insight, a little bit more info into Australia for next year is, I connect you with Coach Sean Soderling, who's the women's soccer coach for Brescia University, NAIA school there in Kentucky, Owensboro. He's in the middle. He's set up like a whole, he's got a whole trip set up for them, and they're actually going to do some training. They're going to do some training there while they're there working with some coaches who are doing some pretty amazing stuff down there. Some like adaptive soccer stuff. So they're
very cool.
They're doing some pretty awesome stuff for sure. So, all right. Got a few more for you, Coach. I think you kind of might have already stole my thunder here. Most recent book you read or are currently reading? There we go.
That one is a winner. The Revolution. That's definitely up there. And then I'm reading. There's a Pep Guardiola that just came out. Something.
Just came out a new one, brand new one.
Very new one, Something City. It is a very, very good book on the author had a lot of access behind the scenes to Pep. So some really cool kind of behind the scenes stories that you normally wouldn't hear that I'm really enjoying.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I'll look that up. All right. Name a phobia of yours.
Myself and my 13-year-old daughter are as afraid of heights as any human can ever be. And then my 9-year-old son and my wife are daredevils. So like when we go to Disney, they're going off to the craziest ride. It's just the two of them together. And then me and my daughter are together and we're on the merry-go-round. I am very afraid of heights, and especially heights and motion at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hobby you discovered during the pandemic. Something maybe you were interested in before, never had the time, took it up maybe during the pandemic or had the time, and maybe you've now made it a part of the repertoire.
I love pickleball and ping pong. Have you ever played pickleball, Hector?
No, I have not. I was actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I just had this conversation with a coworker last week about it. So, yeah.
In Iowa, it's blowing up. When I go see my parents who still live up in Iowa, there's pickleball courts everywhere and you can't get on them. There's just people everywhere.
It's that popular in Iowa of all places right now?
It is that popular in Iowa. From 6 to 9 p.m., you're lucky if you can get on a pickleball court. But what's kind of nice about it as an old person sport, I guess similar to, it's a wiffle ball, so you don't have to move quite as much as tennis, but you get your competitive itch.
Yeah.
So ping pong and pickleball are two that I rediscovered, and I'll love to play anybody in those anytime.
Nice. All right. Last question, Coach. I ask of everybody. So pandemic is completely over. We're back to what our normal or new normal may be at that point, but you got family, friends, old alumni, current players, they're all coming over to your place. You're cooking this gigantic Sunday dinner. You're the chef. What are you cooking?
Well, you don't want me cooking. I'll tell you that I'm the worst cook on planet Earth. But what I'm really good at is going out and buying the best of something. We even do that for Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's multiple. But being a true West Texas guy, we're going to have some proper barbecue and steaks, and we're also going to have some Mexican food.
There you go.
We're going to cater that in, and we're going to have a feast together, and I'm not going to cook a thing.
Smart man. Well, hey, Coach, this has been a joy. It's been great to have you on. Can't thank you enough for your time. You're literally 10 days on the job. You still don't know probably where half the office is, or probably where some of the restrooms in your athletic building are, all of that stuff. And yet here you are. So can't thank you enough. Really appreciate your time. Any final words, shout outs, anything you have for us before we go?
Hector, it's a joy for me as well. This is just a very fun soccer conversation with the two guys who love soccer and love student athletes. So thank you to you. And I guess any coaches that are watching, I guess my main encouragement would be let's keep student athletes first. Let's just serve student athletes first. And that's a big part of our calling is to love the people that God's entrusted to us.
Perfectly said. And again, thank you to all our listeners, our supporters. You're the reason why we do it. Again, we continue to bring you this kind of content, kind of behind the scenes, let you peek behind the curtain, if you will, with a lot of coaches, a lot of great coaches, highly respected coaches, such as Coach Wood. We're grateful for their time. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for, you know, you're listening, you're subscribing. So again, you can go to follow us on YouTube. We're at the 50_50 podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe. We'll have a lot more great content. Really excited about this coming year. And then you can also find us on Instagram at the 50_50 podcast, as well as on Twitter at 50_50 pod. So again, all our listeners, our supporters, thank you very much. Get out there, help support Coach Wood and his new program, the Dallas Baptist University Patriots. We wish you the absolute best of luck this upcoming season, Coach. Thank you again for your time. Thank you again to our listeners. And for our listeners, you know what to do. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.